hallelujah, Father. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness. Oh, Lord, you're such a wonderful God. There's nobody like you. Nothing's too hard for you. Oh, we praise you, God. We thank you, Lord, for breakthroughs in every area of physical areas, incapacities or become possibilities and capabilities. And we thank you for the financial things that people are looking at. It might look impossible, but God said, nothing is too hard for me. You shall be supplied in every area. Thank you, Jesus. And family areas and relationships, Father, in the name of Jesus, may this be a year of breakthrough in marriages and families. We thank you, Lord, for the children and the fathers and mothers that are out there that are separated in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Bringing this all together, churches, to put churches back together, leaderships back together. In the name, the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Be seated. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 21-22, King James Version. I call this message Too Hard, Too Impossible. And because we have to give a message title, see? So people can find it after. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith. How many people know that faith is having confidence? Nothing will stop a man with confidence. You know, the Hebrews 11:1 says faith is the substance. You know what that substance is, eh? It's confidence. It's confidence that you got something that, you know, that you can't see. you can't feel. Faith is the confidence. Faith is the substance. The Bible says when someone has faith, they have confidence. There's something about them that's a little bit different than the average guy, average person. They believe something. And you say, well, how can you believe that? Well, there's something about that person. There's something about him. You know, just you get around that person, you start feeling good about that life. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, if you have faith and doubt not. The word doubt means to have a double-minded. To be double-minded, you can't be double-minded when it comes to believing God. You have to look at him and him only. If you look at the problem, you're going to just go down, down, down. You doubt not, you shall not only say to this which is done to this fig tree, but also if you have, you shall say unto this mountain. You know, Jesus is all about talking to circumstances. You don't talk about how big it is. You talk about what's going to happen because God's with you. And how God's going to make you overcome. Be thou removed. Be thou cast into the sea. Shall not doubt or shall be done. And all things. Everybody say all things. Not just this fig tree. Not this mountain here. But in all things, he says. Whatsoever you shall ask. In prayer, believing you shall receive all things. Not just some things, but all things. Small things and big things and impossible things, praise God. Amen? Things that are impossible for you. God says all things. All things means everything. Everything, my friend says from over there. So, everything, believing. Now, it's not just prayer alone, but believing prayer. You know, people say, well, prayer, you know, let's go ahead and pray for me. But they don't believe anything. And so you want to pray for them. They get some little bit of blessing, but they don't really carry off on it. After you leave them, they don't have anything because they're believing on your faith. And so, you know, some things are impossible for us to do. But God is our very present help. The Bible says that God is everywhere. That God lives inside of you and me. That's the hope of glory. That's the thing, you know, that makes everything different is that God lives in us. I don't have to go to a church building, some people to say, to meet God. I can just be right here. And well, that's true, all right, but still, God still wants you to come to church. He still wants you to be with other people, other believers. There's something about getting something a little extra when you're with the Lord and the Lord's people. There's something extra. There's a corporate anointing there that's going to help than when you're alone. A stronger level of faith, and it's easier to believe, and you get something extra. But God's our very the present help. He's here with us right now. And if you'll just think about that right now, right this very moment, that God is in here right now. He's here. His presence is here. His angels are here. God lives inside you. If you're born again, He lives in you. If you're not born again, get God in you by asking Him to be your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to come in your life. And when you do, you'll actually feel different automatically in an instant. And I remember getting saved. How many of you really, when you remember you got saved, how many remember the day you got saved? Let me see your hand. You remember the day, man, oh, that's so different. It made a whole lot of difference. I was no longer alone. Thank God. So He's our very present help. He'll never tell you to do things or go places that you can't do. God will seemingly tell you things to do things that you actually maybe not capable of doing, but He'll ask you to do things because He said so. And He'll get you to do things because He's the one that said you should do that. You know, God could speak to you by His Spirit, and we should all hear from God regularly about a lot of things, not just on Sunday or when you're hearing a preacher preach, but God should talk to us all the time. So He'll ask you to do things that are seemingly impossible. Seemingly, because I say seemingly because we are human beings and we have only so much talents. We only like so many things. He might even ask you to do things that you don't like. He might ask you to go places that you don't want to go. How many people know that the apostles, you know, the disciples, when Jesus left, the Bible says they went to different places. God told them to go to the, preach in Jerusalem and Samaria. And, you know, the Jews and the Samaritans never got along. And God will tell you to go to places and work with people that you're not supposed to get along with. And He'll send you to places where, desert places where it's not so pleasant. If we're going to serve God just because everything should be pleasant, then we got another story coming to us. Robbie's been trying to get out of town for years. I said, Robbie, you can't go yet. Yeah, he says, well, I got to go back. I said, no, Robbie, there's more work for you to do here. But, well, God spoke to him. And I remember myself and my wife, you know, we decided that, you know, we want to go go to another city and go to another place in a country and maybe somewhere warm, like Geraldton. Oh, man. But anyway, you know, you want to escape. How many of you like to escape just about now? Huh? Where the sun is warm. We actually see the sun. There's supposed to be a sun somewhere, but we haven't seen it for a while. Man, oh man, it's like the end of the world here. You know, Narnia. It's always winter. But so you'll even do things. You'll go places where you don't feel like you should be going. Why me? People say, you know. Ask somebody else to do it. Let them go. I don't want to do that. I'm too shy. Somebody asked me something. Said I told somebody. I said, I'm too shy. You shy? Yeah. Only one person believed me. That was from the school because they're shy too. Because normally, believe it or not, my place is not up here to do what I'm doing because I'm a very private person. In my own self, like, you know, and I say things up here that are crazy. Why did I say that? I remember going home and saying, why did I say that? Oh, Lord, help me. Ah! But you say things sometimes and you can't take it back. It's all on tape and everything. And so, you know, I began to, you know, if you're a preacher, you know, you can't be afraid. You know, God told Jeremiah, go and preach to those people over there and don't be afraid of their faces. And I'm looking, there's a lot of faces I can be afraid of here. So I'm going to preach anyway. Anyway, so he'll tell you to do things like that. He'll ask you to do tasks that are seemingly impossible. So when the Lord spoke this to me this morning, I said, you know, wow, you know, that's amazing. Then a sense of the presence of God came upon me, and I felt a whole lot better when the Lord speaks to you about something. So when it comes to your health and when it comes to your family, there's a whole lot of concern. 2017, Donald Trump, oil business, whatever it is, you know, all kinds of things. People can get afraid of a lot of things, not just their family, but everything else in the whole wide world. People feel bad about everything. So I want you to go to, you know, an example here, Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 23. And when it came to pass, when it came to his disciples, Jesus did, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes and questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit, and whatsoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth. He pined away, and I say unto thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Everybody said they could not. You know, here's a story of the disciples, Jesus, is people he's teaching. And Jesus, you know, told those guys to go out. You remember, before this incident, Jesus told these guys, go out in my name and cast devils out, heal the sick. I don't know if you remember that, but it's in there. Believe me, it's there. If you read the other disciples, you need to piece it together, you understand that. He told the disciples to go and do what they didn't do. And there was a big commotion about why this was not happening, and so there was questions about it. And I remember, you know, people ask me sometimes, you know, why didn't this happen? You know, Uncle George passed away. You know, we prayed for him, and he died. Now they got questions about God and all this kind of stuff. Well, Uncle George had his own agenda, and he's got his own faith in relationship with God. And you can't pray everybody out all the time with your faith because you want it. Everybody has their own faith, and there's times that you have to allow people. I remember, I understand this because I went through it myself and asked God about it, and I heard other men, and I saw it in Scripture. Your faith can always work for you, but not for everybody else all the time. Sometimes it can, and there's sometimes you can make your faith work for someone, especially when you're responsible for those people. You can make your faith work for those people if you're responsible for someone, or if someone is a baby Christian. Not a big baby, but a baby Christian. There's a difference between being a big baby Christian and a baby Christian or a carnal new believer. So it said that there they could not. Why couldn't they do something that God told them to do and yet they couldn't do it? You see, sometimes, you know, you and I, God will talk to us. Yes, he did talk to you about something, about that business. Yes, he told you something about that job, he might have told you something about a ministry area, and yet you can't do it. And you need to go a step back and make some adjustments. Go back to the master, go back to the plan, and ask him what's going on over here. Because it's nothing wrong with God. It's nothing wrong with his word, but there's something wrong with us. Sometimes we have to make some inner adjustments in our spirit, in our heart. Maybe our attitude's not right. Maybe we've got to fix up some things. Anybody ever had that at the first of the year? Just got to make some adjustments again. And now 2017 is a brand new year. 2016 is gone. So it was 15 and 14. We can't change that what happened, but we can sure change something now, make a whole lot different. And so he said, I speak to the disciples and they should cast them out, but they could not. They could not. They're just one of them, the whole bunch of them, they couldn't do it. He answered them and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowing, foaming. I can tell you by personal experience that when I cast out devils, when they were inside people, they did the same thing as this. And I remember the very first time that I had to do this on my own. I didn't go to a demon, how to cast out a demon school. I didn't have that course. I didn't have the courses of how to deal with certain spirits. Didn't go to deliverance school, but I did have the Bible. And I remember having this experience, and the Lord said to me, cast that spirit out in my name. And I cast the spirit out in the name of Jesus, and that person began to, when I said in the name of Jesus, that person began to act up and stick out their tongue, and voices start coming out. And if I had paid my attention to, look how long that tongue is, and look at those eyes that let me, you know, I would have lost it right there. I would have ran with the rest of the gang. I noticed in that church, everybody there, they were singing a whole lot about how great God was in the last 10 minutes ago, but all of a sudden, instantly, everybody was afraid. God was that small suddenly. You know, people say, well, you know, they sing Sunday morning, oh, wow, great, great is our God, great is our God. And then their kid wants shoes and say, what do you think I am, made of the money? You know, and so, but God's big, and he lives in us. Greater is he. Everybody say, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. The greater one lives inside of us. And so I said, in the name of Jesus, come out. And that thing acted up, and that person started to flip around and stick out a tongue and scream out and said all kinds of stuff. Why I couldn't come out, why I couldn't cast them out. I said, no, you're coming out in the name of Jesus. I said it one time. I'm not going to say it again. I said it in faith the first time, and it's coming out. Now, that thing didn't take time. He didn't say, okay, I'll come out. You know, it wasn't cooperative. You know, and then sometimes people think, you know, just because you got God's word, it's going to happen instantly. And because you pray for your kid one time, it's going to work just like that. Because you pray for your body one time, and it should happen just like that. Well, sometimes it takes some time for you to begin to manifest. And so anyway, that thing came out, and all the people, including the pastor and the elders, began to wail and scream and cry. And said, hey, listen, wait a minute, and don't worry about this. Just go ahead and take your time, and this is going to be okay. And meanwhile, I was scared more than anybody else. I acted like I knew everything. You know. But anyway, that was my mind and my spirit. See, your mind can give you a lot of trouble, but if you stick with your spirit, get the direction down there, you will never be afraid. Stick with your heart. That's where God speaks to you. Because you can have faith in your heart, but doubt in your head. And that's why the Bible says, trust in your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust God with your heart. So there's things in our lives just like this here, where God even said you can have healing. You can have finances. You can have emotional balance. But things are not working real good right now. But hey, hold on. Hold on. It's going to work out, praise God. Amen? Everybody says it's going to work out. Now, it says here that he said, bring him to me. They brought to Jesus, and he saw him, and so on and so forth. He said to his father, how long ago since this came unto him? He said, of a child. And oftentimes he cast him into the fire and to the waters to destroy him. But if thou can't do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, apparently this is going on. This spirit, whatever, it looks like a spirit of suicide or something on this kid, besides, you know, the manifestation of epilepsy and so forth. There's other things going on there. And so they apparently over here, it tried to, you know, do all kinds of things. It destroyed this young man's life. Now, notice what the word of the man said, the father of the child. And many of us have children, and we've had our kids small and older now, some of us, and our young adults. But it says in there, how long has this happened to him? He says, of a child, and oftentimes cast into fire, and so on and so forth. And he said, notice, he said, if You can't do anything. Have compassion on us and help us. We always say that to Jesus. Say, hey, Lord, if you can do something. Every time I see people from my res, some old friends of mine, they always say, hey, Roma, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great. Before you came. He said, I want you to help me out. We have a good laugh sometime about that. Because that's res talk. But anyway, Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Now, if you read it this, the way you look at it there, a lot of people say, it seems like Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible. Jesus didn't say in a sarcastic manner. He didn't say this, you know, hey, don't try this at home. I'm God's son, and I'm the only one that can do this. I'm special. See, this, we're looking at Jesus this way. When we read this picture with religious traditional glasses, we'll read it in the way that our mind gets off from some kind of impossible tangent of helping this guy out. In the original language, Jesus said to the man, he was like flabbergasted that this guy would have asked that kind of question. He said it this way, if I can do anything, you're asking me if I can help you, if I can do it. He's saying this, you know, it's not a matter of what I can do. I know I can do that. But it's a matter of what you can do. Can you believe? You know, and so this is something that we have to come to terms with, because everybody's always putting on Jesus or putting on God, what God's going to do for them. But God's looking at you. You're on earth. He did say earlier, too, he said, whatever you permit on earth, whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. What you allow in your life, you know, or not allow in your life is really up to you. He said that. You know, you look at the scriptures there, Matthew. He said that we need to take authority in our own lives and begin to take some responsibility of our lives spiritually. Because sometimes we put off everything unto God or until we get to heaven. One day when we go to heaven, we're going to have no problems with demons. Thank God, we'll never have problems with, you know. But we have to deal with the devil down here. We need the authority that he's given us. You know, I was my wife turned on the television. I was eating my breakfast there this morning, and before I came here, and I saw myself on television. Great looking man, praise God. And I'm talking about the ability to reign on earth. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says that we rule and reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. The word reign is the word rule. It has that word means that we have authority. We have authority. We rule and reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. And there's three areas of rulership that we have to take a charge of. Number one, we have to take charge of ourselves, our own minds, our own emotions, and begin to harness that and put it in line with the Word of God. We take authority over the enemy, the devil, and his cohorts, and bind him and not allow him to attack us in this way he wants to. And you talk to the devil face to face, and you have to tell him, you can't do that. You cannot be afraid of the devil and win the battle. I said, you cannot be afraid of the devil and win the battle. You have to understand that Jesus beat the devil in every area. He's given us his victory. So when we're winning the victory, we're using his victory. We're using his authority. And that's what Jesus was teaching these guys, to take authority. He's not going to tell you to do things you can't do. And so, if I can do anything, he said, if I can do anything, you're asking me if I can do anything. If you can believe, all things are possible. It's not what I can do or what I believe, it's what you can do, what you can believe. See, this year, you're going to have to ask yourself, what do you believe about what you can do? You have to believe that I can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4, right, and 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not just one thing, but all things. Whatever he said in the Bible that I can do, I can do. So we must stick to that. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 18, verse 17, as far as the enemies that are strong for us, he said, he delivered me from the strong enemy, my strong enemy, from them which have hated me, for they were too strong for me. So thank God that we can have victory over things that are too strong for us. You know, there's things that are impossible for us in the natural. I've heard people having cancer, different ones having cancer, and different dreaded diseases that they're afraid to think about. But God has given us victory. If we don't take authority and believe something, there's nothing can be done unless you believe something. If you want to believe in the same old religious things that you're stuck with, then you go ahead and believe that. But let's believe the Bible. Let's believe the Word of God together. Sometimes we have things that are too strong for us, too much to bear as far as people concerns are. We all have burdens that we carry, perhaps maybe at times when we shouldn't, that belong to someone else. We carry other people's burdens, our families, family members, and so forth. We carry the burdens of the world, like things that Donald Trump is doing, or Trudeau. Blame the government for all the problems. So we have this thing, we have a habit of taking on different things. Jesus said, come to me and learn of me, and I'll give you more stuff to carry. No, he didn't say that. He said, come to me, and I'll take your burdens from you. Yeah? So he didn't tell the person, no. How long does this demon come upon him? It's been since he's a child. You better watch out till he's 16. He's going to get worse. Jesus didn't say that. Yeah? He said, there's three more demons coming. There's nothing you can do about it. Now he's going to make havoc in his house and in his life, but yours too. So we think this way negatively. So Numbers 11, 14. People burdens, concerns, we all have them. Does anybody not have them? We all have concerns for different things. Here's what this man said. His name is Moses. I'm not able to bear the people alone because it's too heavy for me. So all the people's concerns, he's trying to solve everybody's problem. Too hard. It's too impossible to bear it, to carry on my own. Remember what Elijah said? He ran away in 1 Kings. Elijah ran away and he thought he's the only one, if you can look at it this way. I'm the only Christian in this city that believes this way. I'm the only one in my family. I'm the only one in my office. That's a Christian. Oh, poor me. They're all attacking me. Everybody else is doing something else, but I'm in my office. You know? So, I don't know. I guess it's not funny. Sorry about that. But it's a hard thing, I'm telling you. I just finished telling you that God's going to send you places that you're supposed to be a light, and he sent you there. He said, I want to serve God. God, use me. God uses you, sends you somewhere. Sorry about that, Lord. I think a lightning bolt came down. So, one time I was doing that, we had these kind of effects. The guy said to me, how did he do that? Genesis 18, 14. Story about an old woman that had a young baby. Baby. Ooh, baby. That's from the hockey guys there for you guys. Bob Cole, oh baby, Maple Leafs. Where's all the Maple Leaf fans? Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for me or anything too hard for the Lord? At this time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. Sarah shall have a son. Sometimes people laugh if God asks them to do something. Ha! I can't do that. That's too hilarious, man. Did you hear that? I'm supposed to be doing this. I remember years ago, you know, it wasn't that actually that too long ago, I met some friends that I went to college with, and they said, man, I can't believe you're a pastor. You're a pastor. And some of my people from my community used to say the same thing before everybody else, all the old people have died now, but they couldn't believe that Roma became a pastor. But I believe there's people in your life that think it's impossible for you to do certain things. They're looking at you, and if you just look at their opinion, yes, you're not going to be going anywhere. You're going to be doing whatever you've been doing all the time. Just be normal. Everybody wants you to be the way you are all the time. They don't want you to go any further. Just want you to be, just listen. Stay where you are, everything will be okay. But when you begin to believe God for the things that are impossible, you say, oh, that can only happen in Texas. You know, it's like, you know, like over here, you know, we think about this. We want to bring the gospel, present the gospel, the good news to everybody in our city. And I tell people all the time, if this is any good, tell people that what we're learning, what we're getting here. So people can get released and get help and be encouraged. Tell people, man, this come see my pastor. He's hilarious. And he's crazy and all that. You know, and so tell people, we got great people here. There's a lot of good-looking people around here. You know, there's not one that's bad-looking. Really shiny, beautiful, smell good and everything. Generous, faithful, beautiful people, man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on. Everybody say, I got to go and see that place. Amen. Come on, give yourself a hand. Hallelujah. So God tells this lady that you're going to have a child. The end of the story, there's a story there about a Shunammite woman. Elijah told the same thing to this woman. By this time next year, you're going to have a baby. They couldn't believe it. You ever notice there's some people that get things from God, they say, I can't believe it. You know why? Because it's God's, that's when people do that, it's because it's God's mercy. It has nothing to do with their level of faith. This is God's mercy that came and bang, something happens. And it didn't have anything to do with your own personal faith level, just that God did something out of the ordinary for you. And it could happen to you. It could happen to your family. We need people to be open to God. Nothing's too hard for God. Now, Jeremiah 32:17 says, Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, and stretch out your arm. Is there nothing too hard for thee? If a God that can do all that, there's nothing too hard for God. Nothing, not one thing is hard. Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible. Putting that same thought for there. So, we need to see God this year. And no matter what he tells you to do, that you can do whatever he said to do. Amen. Everything. Amen. Everything. And there's times, maybe this year, maybe you go to work, and you say, you know, I can't get up. There's no way I can do this again. I can't go to that office one more time. I can't do that presentation. I can't do this. But God will be there with you. He's going to be inside you, helping you to do whatever it takes to do. Hallelujah. I want to, you know, this guy here, this young man over here, he said he's from Fort Hope. And I see him at the college. You know, he was working with my wife at the Friendship Center, teaching literacy to this man. He wants to learn how to read the Bible. Amen. And he's got a tremendous, tremendous testimony how Jesus helped him, how God gave him a vision. And nothing shall be impossible. You know, I go to school, and I meet all kinds of students in my terms there at the college, and all kinds of students that say, I want to do this. I was walking through the mall yesterday. There was a young lady She came to my class, a young girl, just a tiny girl, and she said, I want to be an actress. You know, and we were all sitting around, and we're having lessons that pertain to believing God, believing, not believing God, but believing, having a vision. Because how many people know that life has the ability to knock the shells out of you, and then you stop dreaming? There's a time that you stop dreaming in life. And so I'm there as a representative, as a teacher, to bring back them, to help them to dream big again. And how to restore their dreams. Because one day I walked into school and we heard a story about a man who said he was labeled educably mentally retarded. And he became such a fine speaker, and he went around teaching people how to restore their dreams. And he went to school and he met one teacher that told him, don't ever say that again in my classroom.